Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Some days I'm a bird, some days I am the song, sometimes I am a storm, some days I'm just plain wrong. There's a still quiet voice, and it sounds a little like mine, saying you're right where you should be, it's just gonna take time. Oh, could you throw me a line? Could you take me? Yeah, the world's spinning faster now than it ever has been. What used to be sure, up and walked out the door, and the old ways I knew just don't work anymore.
This message was delivered live in worship on January 29th. The beginning of our podcast recording just didn't quite work the way we anticipated. So I'm delivering this message again in the sanctuary, but without our entire community gathered. So you'll hear a transition maybe about halfway through or so as we move back to the original recording. So thank you for taking time to listen this morning. Pastors don't normally begin messages seated up in the rafters of a church, but that's actually what happened on the 29th. So we lost the recording when I was about 12 feet off the ground looking down at the rest of our community, actually from behind everyone. And there are good ideas and there are bad ideas. Oftentimes as a pastor, when you're delivering your message or before, at least for me, I don't know if it's for other folks, you start to question maybe once or twice, and then you start to question maybe six or seven or eight times, and there comes a point where you think, and this is what I was thinking when I was climbing up on the rafters on the 29th, this might not have been a very good idea. And it makes me wonder if that's exactly what Zacchaeus was thinking as he was making his way up the tree. I'm pretty sure that that's what the folks who were gathered around him wondered about. See, it wasn't okay for a tax collector, a person of stature in that day, to go about running, much less to climb up a tree. That was the last thing that anyone on the ground expected to see, was a tax collector, a wealthy person, climbing himself up into a tree. But that is exactly what happened in the story that we heard this morning. See, chief tax collectors were folks who were employed by Roman officials to go out and to collect a tax from everyone underneath them. So you can imagine how little people appreciated tax collectors in their time. See, the tax collectors would go from place to place. They had already given an amount of money to the Roman Empire, and essentially what they were trying to do then was take as much money as they possibly could to be those in-between middlemen. They were like the entrepreneurs of their day, and they were certainly not liked for the work that they undertook. So you can imagine the town folks when Zacchaeus, this rich tax collector, you might call him the 1%, climbed up into a tree. A man of his stature would not even run, much less climb trees, and it was a sycamore tree. Sycamore trees are reported in Amos to produce an inferior fig that was eaten by the poor. So it was a reach for a rich tax collector to run past a crowd of poor Jewish people en route to climbing an old sycamore tree. Now, I was never one of those kids who could just scamper up a tree when I was young. I was the awkward one, the one who ended up with one leg barely over a branch and the other one hanging down, wondering if I was going to make it or if I was just going to drop however many feet I was above. And I wonder what kind of a climber Zacchaeus was. I imagine him making his way over to this tree, looking around, seeing if anyone was watching him, and then trying to get his body, I doubt he did this very often, up that tree so that he could see out and over. If once he was up, I wonder, how much did he fear the height of being up there? It turns out that it isn't actually clear in the text what happens here, because if you've heard anything of the Zacchaeus story, you probably think about Zacchaeus being a wee little man. One of the things that I found interesting as I was researching and preparing for this sermon is that the text is actually ambiguous. What it says is that, this is exactly how it reads, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. Did you catch that? We don't really know who was short. Was it Zacchaeus? Was it Jesus who was short? It just says he was short in stature. I guess most of us don't like thinking about the possibility of Jesus being short, so we resolve the ambiguity by creating songs about wee little Zacchaeus climbing up that tree. There was even more ambiguity in the text as I started to explore it this week, though. And this one seems even more significant to me. See, in the story, we always hear it as Zacchaeus claiming that he will give half of his possessions to the poor. But the actual Greek verb isn't in the future tense. It's in the present tense. So it's Zacchaeus broadcasting to everyone that I have given, or I give half of all I have to the poor, and I pay back four times, as in right now. This feels huge. See, everybody I've ever read wants us to believe that this is a story about miraculous conversion. It's a story of repentance. Zacchaeus was a rich tax collector who would necessarily have been doing harm to his neighbors. He climbs a tree, sees Jesus, invites himself to eat in Zacchaeus' home, and then Zacchaeus repents and pledges to give half of his possessions to the poor. But in chapter 19, verse 8, we learn that Zacchaeus stood up. So traditionally, this has been read as an indication of his genuine repentance and his desire to sell half of his possessions. But more recently, scholars have begun to wonder, what if this is actually Zacchaeus standing up to proclaim that the way he's been read, the feelings that people have had about him, the way they've understood him, it's actually been misguided this whole time? What if the whole time Zacchaeus has been giving away half of his possessions to the poor? And so it isn't the future tense that we see in the English, but it's actually the present tense that we read in the Greek. Zacchaeus standing up to proclaim himself as one who's maybe already been following the ways of Jesus. Maybe he was running ahead to climb that tree because finally someone was coming to town who was pointing to the way that he had already known. And maybe Jesus knew something about this as well, and that's why Jesus wanted to come to his home for a meal. What I love about wondering in this way is that the text creates openings for all kinds of folks. Folks who've been living their entire lives rooted in grace and growing in faith, trying their very, very best to reach in love, to be the hands and the feet of God in this world with their neighbors. For those folks, maybe this text is an invitation, like Zacchaeus, to stand up and be counted for the ways we've been living all along, to celebrate with a meal with Jesus that we are God's people. And maybe it's an invitation as well, if we read it in the future tense, that it could be a story of repentance for folks who have struggled to root their lives in grace, who haven't been open to growing in faith, folks who really aren't quite ready to take a first step toward reaching in love. Maybe this text could be an invitation to turn back toward God through Jesus and to reach in love to neighbors near and far. And I actually wonder, after spending time with this week, which one is it? Was Zacchaeus going about his business, giving away half of his possessions to the poor? Or was Zacchaeus climbing up in a tree? Like, it's a reach to think about this rich guy climbing up in a tree. And then it's a reach to think about this rich guy giving away half of his possessions. Whether you think he's going to give them away or he's been giving them away, I actually think either way you go with this story, it is a total reach to think that someone would want to follow Jesus in this way. Our children are listening to a story this morning in Godly Play. And the story that our kids are listening to is about the story of a good shepherd. Hey, Vanessa, would you help me and take that black stuff off there so I don't fall down and hurt myself terribly? I still could fall down and hurt myself terribly, but... So as our kids are listening to this story, what they're hearing about is a person who did such amazing things and said such wonderful things that people wanted to follow him. You know, those rafters are really dirty, and I'm thinking the sycamore tree must have been terrible to get down. And then he's got to host Jesus after all this. Can you actually imagine you've got stuff all over you, and then you sit down with this person, and then this person wants you to know that you're on the way. And you're either making a choice, like, I'm going to turn totally around and start to give half of this away, or I've been doing it all along, and I'm going to stand up finally for the first time. And I'm going to let folks know I've been reaching in love. You didn't even know it, but I've been reaching in love. See, that's what this story is about. It's about someone reaching out of their comfort zone up into a tree and then finding in that the depth inside of them to reach in love to those around them. We've been talking this week about, really this series, about a character from Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov. And the person, his name is Father Zosima. And I've shared this story a couple times, and I want to just extend it in our last time in this worship series. So early on in his life, this person, Zosima, he was in the military. And he was falling in love with someone, and he took off to go to battle. She found someone else. That's how the story always goes. She found someone else while he is off fighting. He comes back, and you can imagine 2 months later, he's really upset with this. So he does what any good military person would do. He challenges him to a duel and says, it's on. Tomorrow morning, we are going to see. One of us will live and one of us will die. He goes home that night, and he physically beats his servant over and over and over again. And then he wakes up in the middle of the night because he cannot sleep. And he looks out as the sun is coming up, and he sees the beauty of God's creation, and he sees the brokenness inside of his own life, and he knows that he cannot carry on this way. His life cannot be the same. We talked about that as the moment in which his life, he recognized that he was rooted in grace, in God's love. And sometimes that comes to us when we recognize how much we fall short over and over in spite of our best intentions, and that's what happened to him. He goes immediately, right before the duel, he goes to his servant and he begs for forgiveness. And the servant actually says to him, like, it can't be me. Am I good enough? Am I worthy? And he falls to the floor and he kisses his servant's feet and he begs for forgiveness. And then he goes on to the duel. And when he's there in the middle of the duel, he stands before the folks. The bullet goes right past him. And then he takes his gun and he throws it out into the woods. And he makes a mockery of the system of pride, the only system they've known. And he says, it cannot be this way. So we talked about that as he's growing in faith, just like we're called to root our lives in grace, to grow in faith. And then later on in life, the elder monk, he's spent his whole life trying to follow Jesus. And I want to close us this morning with a bit of his story in which he is reaching in love. So these are his words as Dostoevsky records them. And he's speaking out to all of the monks that live in his community. Love one another, fathers. Love God's people. For we're not holier than those in the world because we have come here and shut ourselves within these walls. But on the contrary, anyone who comes here, by the very fact that he has come, already knows himself to be worse than all those who are in the world, worse than all on earth. And the longer a monk lives within these walls, the more keenly he's aware of it. For otherwise, he has no reason to come here. But when he knows that he is not only worse than all those in the world, but is also guilty before all people, on behalf of all and for all, for all human sins, the world's and each person's, only then will the goal of our unity be achieved. For you must know, my dear ones, that each of us is undoubtedly guilty on behalf of all and for all on the earth, not only because of the common guilt of the world, but personally, each one of us, for all people, and for each person on this earth. This knowledge is the crown of the monk's path, and every person's path on earth. For monks are not different sort of men, but only such as all people on earth ought also to be. Only then will our hearts be moved to a love that is infinite, universal, and that knows no satiety. Love one another. Love God's people. We're not holier than others as we gather in this space. We're not holier than others as we gather in these walls. And we remind ourselves of that when the technology goes out and we don't know how to keep going on anyways. Our lives are inseparable from the lives of everyone in God's creation. When we recognize the depths of that truth, God's grace sinks deep within us, calls us to grow, and then calls us to reach in love. To reach in love. So it leaves me wondering in this moment how the new you in this worship series is going to reach in love. Like, what will that look like in your life? How will reaching in love take place in your own school or in your own work, in your own retirement? How will it look in your family? Maybe some of you will reach in love by signing up in the back to be part of Winter Sanctuary, where 117 unhoused adults will be here in just a few weeks because they need a night of respite from the cold. And maybe part of your reaching in love will be to help prepare a meal for that, or to literally sit down with someone who is not any different than us and share a meal. Or maybe it'll be to clean up the bathrooms after somebody who's the same takes off at 6 a.m. because that's when the bus goes. Maybe that's what reaching in love will look like for you. Maybe you have something totally different in plan. Maybe your life will be transformed like Zosima's and you'll move from one direction in another. And if you're that, then Zacchaeus' story is all about turning from one direction towards God. Or maybe you're a person who's been on that journey for a long, long, long time. And if so, maybe it's time for you to stand up like Zacchaeus and say, I've been reaching in love all along in these ways. To come out saying, yes, I will stand with others as we reach in love. But the hard part about Zacchaeus' story is that his reaching in love is selling half of his possessions to give to the poor. And so it's one thing to make a meal, and it's an important thing, but it's a reach to think about following Zacchaeus. It's a reach to think about running in front of the crowds, climbing up a sycamore tree, being seen by Jesus, and then called to reach your life in grace, to grow in faith, and to reach in love. Maybe that's what this is all about, that kind of reach. I just don't know, and I wonder how your life will reach in the days ahead.
It's who you are now, who you want to be now, or are you someone you don't want to be? Is what you wanted really what you wanted, or is it nothing like a dream?